Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Happening now in the WRAL Live Center, we've got some breaking news out of Capitol Hill and concerning the vote for a new speaker. I'll have that here in the Live Center.
And search warrants reveal new information about a stabbing at Durham's newest high school. Why the student facing charges says he was carrying the knife.
Also, a very important recall involving a gun safe. Why the company is telling customers to stop using the biometric feature on it. A lot of news to get to this noon. We begin with breaking news. Ohio Representative Jim Jordan will not seek a third speaker vote today. Instead, though, he will back a plan giving the temporary speaker additional power.
Right, and Republicans made it clear after two votes that Jordan did not have enough support to win the speaker's gavel. Ken Smith is in the WRAL Live Center with this new development in the saga. Ken, what's going on?
Michelle and Jeff, this is a major development coming out of Washington as we take a live look now at the U.S. Capitol, where at noon we were supposed to have that third vote, but House leadership, the House standing down this noon hour. Here's what we're hearing out of Washington, D.C. The Republicans right now are currently looking at a resolution to empower the current interim speaker, Patrick McHenry of North Carolina, at least until January. Now, this will give the House an opportunity to at least get some work done, because right now there is gridlock in the U.S. House of Representatives. Nothing is getting done. The president is going to speak later on tonight asking for more money for the war efforts overseas, including in Israel, including in Ukraine. That cannot happen. Those requests will fall on deaf ears because nothing is getting done, because nothing can get done without a speaker. Having said all that, Jordan isn't giving up on seeking the speakership. This will give him more time to secure more votes for next year. Again, the resolution will be to empower North Carolina representative, the interim speaker right now, Patrick McHenry. So there's so many other layers to this. What now? Because Republicans need Democrats to support. There's no word yet on whether Democrats will go along with this. This is, of course, a developing story that we will continue to track during this newscast online and, of course, the WRAL News app.
All right, thanks, Ken. Also new at noon, for the first time, we have an idea of what happened inside Northern High School the day a student was stabbed there. It happened on September 11th, just a few days into the new school year.
The new details outlined in a three-page search warrant indicate that bullying may have been an underlying factor. WRAL's Keenan Willard is outside the high school and joins us this afternoon with the new information. Keenan.
Michelle, what we got was an application for a search warrant for a Northern High School student's cell phone. According to detectives, that student admitted to bringing a small pocket knife to school the day of this alleged stabbing on September 11th, saying he needed it to protect himself from students who'd been bullying him. Now, everything about this situation from that document, according to detectives, security footage from inside the school that day shows a group of students going into a bathroom. They're followed by a student wearing a black hoodie. Now, then there's this rush of students going into the bathroom area, looking like there's some kind of incident taking place, and another student walks out holding his abdomen in clear pain. Detectives say that student went to the school's guidance office, bleeding from his stomach or abdomen area, asking for help, and was later hospitalized with possible injuries to his liver. At that point, detectives watched back the footage, identified the possible student involved, and interviewed that student. That's when they say that the student, while sitting with his parents, forfeited that small pocket knife and talked about the need that he said he had for it. He'd said for weeks prior that a group of students, including the student stabbed, had been harassing him, had been bullying him, and had jumped him multiple times, even leading him to start leaving school early out of fear of being attacked again. Now, according to detectives, they had also received pictures of posts that student had made of a small sort of pencil that had been sharpened into a shank-like object, but the student did not turn over that specific item, just the small pocket knife. The student does say to detectives that he claims that the pocket knife just fell out of his pocket during this confrontation and he didn't use it, that when the knife fell out, the students ran out. There has been a petition for juvenile justice filed against a 16-year-old here for possession of a weapon on school grounds and assault with a deadly weapon. It doesn't list who that was filed against because this is a juvenile case. Now, coming up this evening, we're speaking with Durham Public Schools, talking about what sort of anti-bullying resources they offer across the district and for students. students who are in acute cases where they need help. More on that coming up on the WREL Evening News. Michelle?
We look forward to that. Keenan Willard live in Durham. Thanks, Keenan.
A 12-year-old allegedly got past a gun safe's biometric security, got the gun inside, and was shot and killed. It's not the first time the biometric locks on Fortress gun safes have failed. There are 39 reports of the safes being accessed by fingerprints that don't have authorization. Five on Your Side reports 9 models of biometric lock gun safes made by Fortress Safe are being recalled. The Consumer Product Safety Commission is telling owners to stop using the biometric feature on them, take the batteries out, and only use the key to lock the safe. Owners can get a free replacement safe, and we're posting details about how to do that on WRL.com. Just search recall.
Happening now in the WRL Live Center, following more breaking news. Within the last hour and a half or so, former Trump attorney Sidney Powell pleads guilty for her role in the Georgia election interference case. This is coming one day before her case was set to go to trial. Powell will also be required to testify at future trials, including the one involving former President Trump. So what does this all mean? Well, it means that Powell is now admitting her role in the January 2021 breach of election systems in rural Coffee County, Georgia. Prosecutors are recommending 6 months probation. Now, the implications of this story are still developing. Look for new reporting starting at 4 right here on WREL.
All right, thank you, Ken. Well, it's a beautiful day today, but two systems will bring rain our way between now and late Friday. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WREL Severe Weather Center with a look at how to plan around our late week showers and storms.
It starts with this one right here. You can see some rain starting to push along the coast. Of course, we've been talking about this cold front that will swing through on Friday. That's going to bring us some rain to round out the work week. We take a look at our visible or high-resolution satellite image. You can see a lot of cloud cover here. We're seeing some rain starting to push onto the coast as well. So it's starting to cloud up a little bit for parts of Wayne County down towards Sampson County, too. We're going to continue to see those clouds pushing in across the area. You can see here on Futurecast the chance by 3 o'clock of a few light showers around Clinton and Goldsboro. By the time we get to, say, 6 or 7 o'clock, we're seeing that rain from Rocky Mount up toward Roanoke Rapids. By 9 o'clock, it has moved out. This is really only going to affect people from the I-95 corridor eastward and not as far southwest as, say, Fayetteville. So Clinton, Goldsboro, Rocky Mount, and eastward. So that means that things are going to stay dry for the state fair today. Now, everybody gets into it tomorrow as that front comes through. We'll be partly cloudy in the morning. We'll likely have the rain moving into our area as early as noon. At 3 o'clock, we have this big band of rain that's coming right through the middle of the viewing area. Some of this is likely to be steady to heavy, and we may have some thunderstorms as well. Now, we may end up with a little bit of a break. At 5 o'clock, some of that heavier rain shifts to the east, but we may also have another round of some rain later on during the evening. It's not going to rain the entire time from noon to midnight, but we'll have waves that come through with a few breaks. For today, those rain chances again are mainly east of I-95, and of course for Friday, a 60% chance during the day and a 50% chance overnight Friday night for the entire viewing area. It is beautiful out there right now, though. This is a live look at the fairgrounds. Lots of people out enjoying this pretty weather. 70 degrees right now. I was outside just a little while ago, and it does feel great. We'll see a high of 72 this afternoon. We're going to talk more about what's ahead this weekend behind Friday's front coming up.
Israeli airstrikes pounded locations across the Gaza Strip today, including parts of the south that Israel had declared safe zones. The bombardments came after Israel agreed yesterday to allow Egypt to deliver limited humanitarian aid to Gaza. Richard Engel shows us the desperate situation.
As soon as President Biden left Israel, Israeli strikes on the Gaza Strip intensified. 4 hours after he was wheels up, the bombs were raining down. One, according to several witnesses, damaging a UN school turned into a refugee center in southern Gaza, where Palestinians were told to go for safety. Medical officials say 5 people were killed and dozens injured. "We are all people from other areas who fled here because of the war," says this man. Then he sees something in the air, and there's panic, as many fear another strike is coming. During his visit to Israel, President Biden expressed the United States' full support for Israel's military campaign after Hamas gunmen from Gaza broke into Israel and killed at least 1,400 Israelis and foreigners and took 199 hostages, at least.
"Israel, you're not alone."
The president also backed Israel's claim that it did not attack a hospital in Gaza on Tuesday. Hamas claims hundreds were killed. Israel insists the explosion was caused by a rocket from the militant group Islamic Jihad that misfired and crashed on the hospital grounds. New video capturing the blast. That explosion sparked protests across the Arab world.
That was Richard Engel reporting. And while in Tel Aviv, President Biden announced the U.S. will send $100 million in humanitarian aid to both the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Locally, Palestinians and their supporters gathered at NC State University for a pro-Palestinian vigil. People held up signs and candles. Students say they want to see the U.S. stop funding Israel's military effort due to what's being inflicted on Palestinians. And tonight, President Joe Biden plans to make a direct appeal to the American people to continue funding Ukraine and Israel war efforts. A primetime speech will take place at 8 p.m. and we'll carry it live on WRL and WRL.com.
You can cast your vote ahead of the November elections. Early voting sites are open across North Carolina. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains the new requirements for in-person voting.
Showing your photo ID is a new requirement for this year, and polls are open here at the Wake County Board of Elections as people are starting to cast their ballots. Here's what you need to know about bringing your photo ID to vote. Some options may be your driver's license, passport, or university ID. If you don't have a photo ID, you can vote a provisional ballot and fill out an ID exception form. The rollout of the new requirement is going smoothly so far. September and October marked the first rounds of elections since the new law went into effect. The state's elections director says the elections board scrambled to make sure voters and poll workers were up to speed. They expect this November election to go smoothly, too. They say next year's presidential elections will be the real test. Early voting ends on November 4th, and Election Day is Tuesday, November 7th. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, and Raleigh.
Next at noon, former Olympic gymnast Mary Lou Retton suffered a setback in her recovery from pneumonia. We'll hear from her daughter about Retton's fight for survival.
Also, a bus driver in Texas plays the role of hero. What a child on her bus was choking on and how she saved the day. Plus.
And I'm Renee Chu. It's my turn out at the state fairgrounds. And as people are heading into the gate, they are bringing with them bags of canned goods. I'll tell you why this simple good deed is a good deal for you and for our community.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Olympic gymnast Mary Lou Retton suffered a setback in her fight with a rare form of pneumonia. Retton's oldest daughter shared an update on her mother's health on social media. She didn't provide details on what the setback was, but she did say that Retton had a better day yesterday. Retton's family revealed the former Olympian's health battle earlier this month.
A Texas woman is more than a school bus driver. She's also a guardian angel.
Telling him, breathe, baby, breathe. I got you. I got you.
A 7-year-old boy was goofing around and he put something in his mouth and started choking. He made his way to the front of the bus to let the driver know he couldn't breathe. That's when she swooped him up and ran to the sidewalk, all while doing the Heimlich maneuver and yelling to a parent to call 911. Well, finally, out it came. A quarter, 25 cents. And yesterday, the driver and the boy's mother met for the first time.
Oh my God. Thank you so much.
You never know what can happen to them once they get on that bus or whenever they leave your home. You don't know if they're going to be able to come back.
As for the 7-year-old Preston there, he promises never to do that again.
Wow, she saved his life. It's amazing. Well, stop leaving so-called love locks at the Grand Canyon. That's the message from the National Park Service. Visitors often leave padlocks on the fences as a way to symbolize their love for another person, and the key is then thrown into the canyon. But officials note that it's actually littering and it's dangerous for wildlife. The Park Service posted a Facebook message saying that they're attracted to shiny objects and will often eat them. An X-ray showing coins lodged in the digestive tract of a condor that had to be removed by surgery.
What a deal at the North Carolina State Fair today. You can get in for free if you bring canned food donations. Renee Chu joins us at the State Fairgrounds right now to tell us all about what is a popular day always at the fair, Hunger Relief Day. Renee.
Jeff, it is hugely popular, and we're getting ground truth here out at Gate 1 at the State Fairgrounds. I've been watching people coming in, and about 75% of the people who are getting in through the gates, they're bringing in a bag of canned food. So here's the deal. If you bring in 6 cans, that will get you free admission to the State Fair. And if you're in a large group or you have a large family, that can certainly add up to big savings. But what's really behind this drive for one of the state's largest canned food drives for a single day is certainly to help our neighbors and help those make sure they don't go hungry. So here's the setup. We've got the big Smithfield Foods truck here. The goal is to fill this truck with all that canned food. So as people walk through the gate, they're bringing in these canned goods, handing it to these nice folks there, and they're putting it up in the truck. And all this food will go to the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. It will be distributed among its partners to the folks who need it. And we asked some of the folks who were coming up this morning why they wanted to donate.
For the hungry.
We always come on Canned Food Day because we can help our fellow neighbors and we get into the fair for free.
It is a win-win. So volunteers at every gate for the North Carolina State Fair will be there to collect your donations so you can go and get into any gate for Hunger Relief Day. And coming up in our next half hour, we are going to talk about the Army of Volunteers, what it takes to pull off the largest canned food drive in a single day in the state. Back to you guys.
Renee, thanks for that look there. And cute kids talking about why they bring their canned foods out there to the fair. There's so much food at the fair, but this is for a different purpose, and it is great. Thanks. You can come out and meet the WRL family while you're at the fair. Deborah Morgan and Gerald Owens will be out there today, 2 to 3 p.m. And tomorrow morning, meet meteorologists Elizabeth Gardner and Amy Wilmoth between 10:30 and 11:30 a.m. Later on tomorrow, Ashley Rowe and Chris Lovingood will greet viewers between 2 and 3 p.m. Right now, Elizabeth, in our WRL studio. Lots of work to do before that, Elizabeth.
Exactly. And yeah, so tomorrow's going to be interesting. We're definitely looking at some afternoon and evening showers and even a few isolated thunderstorms. So pay close attention. Keep checking in if you're going to be heading out there. But we have a pretty good feel for exactly when we're going to see that rain. So we're going to walk through that. Let's talk about today first. We have this little coastal low here that's pushing some cloud cover up into our viewing area and eventually some rain, too. We take another look here. Starting at around 4 or 5 o'clock. From Clinton to Goldsboro, we're seeing some showers around 7 or 8 o'clock around Rocky Mountain, Wilson, and then it's out of here by around 9, and it will all be along and east of I-95, so it shouldn't be anything that has any impact on the fair. Tomorrow morning, we'll see partly cloudy skies, and then we have a couple of bands of rain that come through. This one is going to sit right over the Triangle area around 2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Some of this rain is going to be fairly steady to heavy. You can see the yellow and orange color contours, a few thunderstorms possible. It starts to shift into the eastern part of our viewing area between 4 and 5 p.m. And then there's going to be a little bit of a break. We have a second round that's likely to come in 7, 8 o'clock and really starting to fizzle out around 10. So, you know, going to the fair on Friday, it's going to be interesting. There's definitely going to be some periods of a few hours where it's raining, a little break, and then maybe a few more hours where it's raining and a few isolated thunderstorms too. It's not going to rain the whole time, but there are definitely going to be some periods of rain for sure. Forecast for today, not looking bad at all. Becoming partly cloudy, low 70s. Football Friday, also going to be an issue. That first band of rain is likely to come through before the games begin. So we're really looking at that second round that's probably going to be developing around 9 or 10 o'clock. So toward the end of the games, we may have another round of some scattered showers for Football Friday. It is pretty at the fair right now, as we talked about. This is a look from Dorton Arena down through the Kitty Rides, 70 degrees, the current temperature there. And a look at the airport here, too. Just a few pretty puffy cumulus clouds out there. Our dew point's way down at 50, so it's super comfortable out there right now. Temperatures will climb into the low 70s, looking at 72 in Raleigh, 70 in Durham, and 74 in Fayetteville for highs this afternoon. Our normal highs are in the low 70s. That's where we'll be for the next few days, and then turning a little bit cooler, especially Monday and Tuesday of next week. It's going to be a little on the chilly side, but really our only chance for rain is today in our far eastern counties, and then tomorrow, starting early afternoon and continuing on into the evening. After that, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday look great. I have a feeling it's going to be very crowded that second weekend of the fair. Saturday's high 70, 68 on Sunday. Take a look at these chilly temperatures. Our big story for next week is going to be the chilly air, especially Tuesday morning. We could see a low of 40 degrees. That means up in some of our northern counties, it can easily be in the 30s. We may end up with some patchy frost, more so than we've seen so far this season. We also have one system that's sitting in the tropics, a tropical storm. I'll show you where that's headed and when it could become a hurricane.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. New housing development construction is accused of polluting the water that many of us drink. Today on your News at 4, Shelley Jackson investigates the claim Mungo Homes Sweetbriar development polluted Falls Lake.
And tonight at 6, picking the wrong health insurance could leave you with tens of thousands of dollars in medical bills to pay out of pocket. 5 on Your Side is digging into the plans, what you need to watch out for, things called junk insurance. And still ahead this noon, Amazon is developing a faster way to get your medical prescriptions. Ahead, we'll tell you where the new technology is making its first drop-off.
Plus, your flight may be a little smoother with United Airlines. What the company is doing to shave time off of your boarding delays.
Your prescriptions could soon be delivered to your doorstep. Amazon announced it'll test medication deliveries by drone in Texas. Customers will be able to get their order within an hour from the sky. The drone is programmed to fly to your address from a secure pharmacy center and drop off a package. The service will supply more than 500 medications. Greater Fayetteville Chamber unveiled its new consumer protection division. This is one of the only consumer protection groups housed within a chamber of commerce. Our very own consumer advocate, Keely Arthur, was there to kick off the opening day, along with Fayetteville's chief of police, as well as judges and elected officials. One of the goals is the division of that division is swift conflict resolution, offering mediation between businesses and consumers.
Nokia plans to cut up to 14,000 jobs as part of a cost-cutting plan following third-quarter earnings that plunged. The Finnish telecommunications giant said that the cuts are necessary to address the challenging market environment. The telecom giant has an office in Raleigh. Back in June, Nokia struck a deal with Raleigh-based Red Hat that involves moving more than 300 workers to Red Hat as part of a cloud computing deal. United Airlines is changing the way passengers board the plane. Starting October 26th, flyers in economy assigned to window seats will board first. Passengers in the middle and aisle seats will follow the first group. And the airline says the move is meant to help speed up the boarding process. The change will apply to all domestic and some international flights.
Google is adding new accessibility features to its apps. The company is updating its Maps, Search, and Assistant programs. One of the new features allows users to find information about wheelchair-accessible transit and places. Now, the updates also include AI and augmented reality to get users acquainted with unfamiliar areas or even discover new places. You can now vote for which one of the Forgotten Five toys you want inducted into the National Toy Hall of Fame. Five classic toys: the Pogo Stick, Fisher-Price Corn Popper, My Little Pony, Pez Dispensers, and Transformers are regular finalists for the honors, but always fall short. This year, one of them will make it in. Fans can cast one vote every day until next Tuesday at museumofplay.org. The winning toy will be revealed November 9th.
Some good stuff right there. We're following some breaking news. North Carolina Congressman Patrick McHenry could soon have more power in the House. Why Ohio Republican Jim Jordan decided not to call for a third vote on the floor today.
And go ahead, hit that snooze button. Why an extra 5 minutes might be good for your health. And hear your winning lottery numbers on your screen.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
We take you back to the breaking news we've been following in the WRAL Live Center since the top of the hour. Ohio Republican Jim Jordan says he will not call a third vote for House Speaker. In a surprising announcement, Jordan says he will support efforts to give additional power to the temporary Speaker, North Carolina Representative Patrick McHenry. Rebecca Castor reports.
It's Congressman Jim Jordan's race to lose.
We're continuing to talk with members, but I got to get to a meeting. It's going to move a little faster here.
Some are calling for him to bow out after he fell short in his last two votes to win the speakership, but he says he's not done yet.
There's no reason for individuals to hold out and not elect Jim Jordan as speaker.
I don't think many people we represent want us spending days upon days deciding who sits in the chair.
It's been over 2 weeks since former Speaker Kevin McCarthy was canned, leaving the House leaderless and powerless.
I mean, literally, there are countries burning around us, and we are, you know, dealing with this because of, you know, a couple of selfish individuals.
That's why some lawmakers want to let the temporary speaker have more authority so Congress can get back to work while Republicans work to figure this out. But others say that's unprecedented.
Give Patrick McHenry, who's the pro temp, more time to sit in the chair with expanded power to be able to address getting support for Israel, for Ukraine, for American people.
I think it is directly contrary to the Constitution in terms of saying that we shall choose a speaker.
That was Rebecca Castor reporting. In an address from the Oval Office tonight, President Biden is expected to call for more aid for Israel and Ukraine, but Congress will be unable to act until a speaker is elected.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, residents in Orange County are reporting hearing loud sounds. It sounds like an explosion. The residents are describing it as a loud boom sound. Orange County Emergency Services are now looking to determine exactly the source of this sound. Of course, if we get any updates, we'll update you here in the WRA Live Center.
All right. Thank you, Ken. We're trying to learn more about the death of a Marine at Camp Lejeune. Authorities on base took another Marine into custody around 10:15 last night. The incident happened in a barracks room on base earlier in the evening. Camp Lejeune has not released how the Marine died or the names of the victim and the suspect. And one person is dead after a deadly crash on I-85 in Granville County around 2 o'clock this morning. We have video from the WRL breaking news tracker as state troopers investigated there. The crash involved three vehicles and temporarily shut down all lanes near U.S. 15 in Oxford. We're working to learn the name of the person who was killed and if anyone else was injured. No word on what caused the crash.
A sheriff's office in Georgia has released video of the moments leading up to and after a deputy shot and killed a Florida man. We want to warn you, you may find this disturbing, so if you don't want to see it, look away from your screen.
Why am I getting tased?
Because you are under arrest for speeding and reckless driving.
Get out!
Leonard Cure was exonerated and freed from prison 3 years ago after spending 16 years in prison for a robbery he did not commit. A deputy pulled him over Monday and ordered him to get out of the car. Officials say the deputy fired the taser when Cure refused to obey the deputy's commands.
Camden, shots fired! Shots fired, Camden!
A dash video shows the deputy trying to administer aid along with the paramedics. Cure's family reviewed the video before it was released. They say he likely resisted being arrested because of psychological trauma as a result of being wrongfully jailed for 16 years. The incident is under investigation.
The Raleigh Police Department is hoping to fill dozens of positions as they continue to deal with a staffing shortage there. This all comes as new data shows violent crime is down, but property crime is up. Raleigh Police Chief Stella Patterson says over the past 3 months, police were able to get 394 illegally owned guns off the streets. Of those, 85 were confiscated in Glenwood South. Police say a lot of those guns were stolen out of cars. The latest data comes as the city works to reduce crime in the downtown business core, a focus area for the police department.
We have increased the number of officers in our transit unit. And we have also made investments in more cameras for increased eyes and ears in that area.
And a private security company may be on the way to Glenwood South. Raleigh is in the process of hiring one to assist officers as the department continues to test ways to curb crime in the social district.
The city of Raleigh wants your input on how they should spend the new budget. You can drop in on a listening session. You'll be able to give your input and learn more about plans for the future funds. It includes transportation, housing, parks, and the environment. If you're interested, you're encouraged to stop by Glen Eden Park Community Center this evening between 6 and 7:30.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, if you're not doing so already, take a look at your television screen right now. This is 81-year-old Robert Loftus, Harney County Sheriff's Office. They're looking for him. He hasn't been seen since last night at his home on Mabry Road. Now, crews have been looking for him all night into this morning. It is noon hour. A command post is now set up on Mabry Road, about a mile from where Loftus lived and the last place he was seen. Of course, we'll keep monitoring the story for updates. Look for any updates online and in the WRAL News app.
Coming up, emergency situations can be scary for everyone involved, but EMS workers in Utah hope they can respond better to autistic patients. We'll tell you how they're doing that.
And if you missed Saturday's Ring of Fire eclipse, don't worry, we'll give you an out-of-this-world view coming up next. You can watch WRAL News live anytime on WRAL.com or the WRAL app on your streaming device.
Welcome back. You are taking a live look at the DBAP in Durham. You can see the park being transformed into Woolly Bull's Winter Wonderland. They'll open those gates on Wednesday, November 22nd. You're watching WRAL News, available on Spectrum and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device. Hitting snooze on your alarm clock might be good for your health. Researchers say that brief snooze periods could help against mood decline and improve cognitive function. 70% of participants say they set multiple alarms or press snooze more than once. Most snoozers are younger and, surprise, surprise, they're not morning people.
No room for snooze for us.
No.
EMS workers in Utah hope special kits help them respond better to autistic patients. The kits are the brainchild of a paramedic whose own son was diagnosed with autism. The EMS worker says he noticed that simple things like sensory poppers helped calm people of any age. He assembled a kit named after his son, which also includes sound-reducing headphones and a sign language translation paper. Federal funding paid for enough John Wilson kits to go into ambulances across the state.
They really just have very basic needs that we just have to shift our brain into a different mode of thinking when we're taking care of them. And Jeff has helped usher us into that way of thinking for those kids by helping each of these crews have the tools they need to take care of them.
Well, the kits are targeted at those who are on the autism spectrum. The tools inside can help others who have anxiety, depression, or other behavioral challenges.
The Durham Performing Arts Center celebrating quite the milestone today.
Congratulations, you're our 6 million guest!
She was the 6th millionth guest. A very surprised Alma Barnett was celebrated as DPAC's 6th millionth guest last night when she walked through the door to attend the MJ the Musical. She is now an extra special guest for this attendance milestone. Barnett received tickets to all 10 Broadway shows coming to the DPAC next season, including The Lion King and Funny Girl. Lucky her. Wow. Well, the North Carolina Courage are getting set for some more playoff soccer. Just ahead, what you need to know before their next game this weekend.
And your chance to have fun at the fair for free and help others. We'll explain that initiative next. Playoff soccer returns to the Triangle this Sunday when the North Carolina Courage hosts Gotham FC at Wake Med Soccer Park. It's the club's first home playoff match since 2019. Since that time, the team has weathered turmoil on and off the pitch. But after winning the Challenge Cup last month, the Courage had their first regular season sellout in their home finale October 9th, and they are hoping for more of the same Sunday.
You know, obviously, we want this place packed out. That's the club's job to make sure they try and get this place packed out. It's a home game. You don't get those very often. But the players deserve to be here based on their performances all year.
We're really excited to be at home playing in front of our fans. You could see the crowd that came out last week. So hopefully we'll have that crowd again. And for them to get behind us and just push us on, it's a great feeling.
That is our new standard, is packing the stadium every single game. So, yeah, I do think that the community's really come back to embrace the club. And they love coming out here. It's a great experience. The players are just incredible on the field, off the field.
Yeah, pack it out. The Courage and Gotham FC kick off Sunday, 7 p.m. at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary. For tickets, you can go to nccourage.com/playoffs.
And don't miss the NFL action coming your way this Sunday, starting on Fox 50 with the Lions taking on the Ravens at 1 o'clock. Sunday Night Football, it's the Miami Dolphins taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. That's at 8:20 on WRAL.
Well, there is no shortage of food at the state fair, but think about this. More than 10% of people in North Carolina are not getting adequate food to live active, healthy lives. And today you can help change that by going to the fair. It's Hunger Relief Day. We are checking back in with Renee Chu to explain how it works and the difference that it can make for so many families. Renee.
This is quite the setup that we have here outside Gate 1 here at the State Fairgrounds. In the parking lot is this huge Smithfield Foods truck waiting to be filled with all your canned donations, the wonderful volunteers here. And so far we've filled 4 big boxes of food. Of course, we're hoping to add to that total. It's really simple, guys. Before you come to the State Fair, just grab 6 cans of food and that will get you in for free. Hunger Relief Day is a State Fair tradition going back 30 years. It started in 1993. Over that time, fairgoers have donated more than 6 billion pounds of food to the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. I'm going to hop down here and we're going to show you some of the wonderful volunteers that are out here to help take your canned donations. Also part of this effort is Smithfield Foods. And joining me now is Jonathan Toms to talk about why this means so much to be a part of this Hunger Relief Day. Jonathan.
Yeah, thank you. You know, this is our third year as the presenting sponsor of Smithfield Foods Hunger Relief Day, and it is as exciting as ever to be here. It's an opportunity for us to come together with the community, take a moment to just give back to the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina and support our neighbors in need throughout their entire 34-county service area.
And I know food and hunger relief is a year-round effort for Smithfield Foods, but this is a special day because you're harnessing the energy of the turnout at the North Carolina State Fair.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Smithfield's a food company, so feeding people is what we do. So we work with the food banks all across the country and here in North Carolina all throughout the year to make a difference in the fight against hunger. But with days like today, it's an opportunity for us to invite the community to come in and join us and really come together to make a difference in this way.
Jonathan, thank you so much. So before you head to the State Fairgrounds today, maybe shop your pantry or go grocery shopping, be sure to bring canned foods that are not expensive. Bring foods that you and your family would enjoy. No glass jars, pasta boxes are okay. And then you can do some good, feel good, and then have a good time here at the North Carolina State Fair.
Yeah, you get a free ticket, and in turn, you help out so many people in need. Renee, thank you so much. And beautiful weather. We just saw Renee out there. It's sunny and perfect. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with a look around town. I mean, can't get better than this, right?
It's beautiful everywhere. I was outside just a little while ago, and I thought, maybe I need my jacket. And it's, you know, I mean, it's a little bit on the cool side, but I was actually fine in my short sleeves out there in the sun. Goldsboro looking pretty. A little bit of high, thin cloud cover. We are going to start to see some cloud cover in Goldsboro, and by maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we can see a sprinkle there. Fayetteville's likely to stay dry. Apex and Chapel Hill are going to stay dry. We're going to see these beautiful puffy cumulus clouds for the rest of the afternoon. Chapel Hill, of course, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. For today at the fair, 72, partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, we're going to have a couple of waves of rain that move through. The first one's going to be mid-afternoon, the other one during the evening, but they may last for several hours. So it's definitely going to be the messiest day at the fair that we've seen since last Saturday. This Saturday, low looks beautiful. We'll see mostly sunny skies, 70, and we'll repeat that again on Sunday. Here's a look at our system that's sitting here off the coast, a little coastal low that's going to feed in a bit of moisture along and east of the I-95 corridor. And then here comes our cold front. Notice there's not a lot of rain showing up with it right now, but by the time it gets here, it looks like we'll have a better chance. So 5 o'clock, Clinton, Goldsboro, seeing a little bit of that patchy rain, as well as Wilson, Rocky Mount. It's out of here by the time we get to around 9 o'clock. Partly cloudy skies overnight and early Friday morning. And then we start to watch that rain picking up, moving on in. At lunchtime, it's in our far western counties. By 3 o'clock or so, it's sitting right in the middle of the viewing area. And there are going to be some periods where the rain is steady to heavy. There could be a few isolated thunderstorms. We'll get a little bit of a break, maybe around 5 or 6, and then say 7 or 8, we get another round of rain that comes through. And that's over at around 11 o'clock or so. So you're going to be dodging the rain on and off for a good bit of Friday afternoon. 60% chance Friday, 50% chance overnight, but Saturday and Sunday look lovely. The amount of rain has gone up on one of our models and down a little bit on the other, but generally I'd be looking at half an inch to a quarter of an inch of rain on Friday. It's all out of here by Saturday. Some good college football games locally. Virginia plays at Carolina at 6:30. We'll see that sun starting to set, temperatures in the 60s, and then dropping into the 50s by the end of the game, but nice dry conditions. And then Johnson C. Smith plays at Fayetteville State at 2:30 in the afternoon. Should be absolutely gorgeous on Saturday, 72 degrees. Okay, tracking the tropics. This system, Tropical Storm Tammy, formed late yesterday. We've been following it this morning, and of course, we've been watching this wave coming off the coast of Africa for almost a week now. So it's moving northwest at 15 miles per hour, winds at 60. So it continues to gain strength. It's possible that by the weekend, it's a hurricane as it moves through the northern part of the Leeward Islands. And then it remains at hurricane strength well into next week, but it shifts off to the north and east and away from land. And so once it gets past those northern Leeward Islands, it shouldn't have any more effect on land. We'll keep our eye on it. The next big thing for us after we get past Friday's front is some chilly air that arrives next week. 40 degrees on Tuesday morning. That could mean some patchy frost.
Good deal, Elizabeth. Thank you. The Sydney Opera House turns 50 tomorrow, but have you ever wondered what it could have looked like? We will share some of the concepts, including one submitted by architects from the U.S.
And here's a look at your winning Powerball numbers. Good luck.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Ohio Representative Jim Jordan will not seek a third speaker vote today. Republicans are now leaning toward backing a resolution to empower the current interim speaker, Patrick McHenry of North Carolina, to at least January. Representative Jordan isn't giving up on seeking the speakership. This will give him more time to secure more votes for next year.
And for the first time, we have an idea of what happened inside Northern High School the day a student was stabbed. Warrens revealed a student told investigators he brought a knife to campus after another student bullied him. Documents indicate the student with the knife claimed that students had jumped him repeatedly in the previous weeks, saying they were threatening to harm him again.
Within the last 90 minutes, former Trump attorney Sidney Powell pleads guilty to her role in the Georgia election interference case. This is coming one day before her case was to go to trial. Powell will also, by this plea deal, be required to testify at future trials, including the trial of former President Trump.
If you missed Saturday's annual Ring of Fire eclipse, we can show you what it looked like from space. This image shows you what it looked like as the lunar shadow crossed North America. And during the annular eclipse, the moon passes in front of the sun, but is too far from Earth to completely obscure it. It makes the moon look smaller in the sky and leaves the sun's ring of fire. The next eclipse visible from the U.S. will be June 21st, 2039.
One of the world's most recognizable buildings turns 50 tomorrow, and we're getting a look at a few of the mock-ups of what the Sydney Opera House could have looked like. It took a while for Australians to warm up to the current shell-shaped roof design from a Danish architect. It attracts more than 10 million visitors a year, though, and it's hard to imagine that structure with any other look. This design from the Philadelphia Collaborative Group took second place. An Art Deco proposal was submitted by the conductor of the Sydney Symphony Orchestra. Finally, this bold entry was the highest-ranked Australian entry in that competition.
All right, let's face it. We all need a little laughter in our lives. Here's your prescription. Two baby yaks named after Harry Potter characters captivated visitors at the Whipsnade Zoo in the UK. Tonks and Cedric join the herd of ambassadors for the vulnerable species. Tonks, the female, was born September 20th, and Cedric was born October 7th. Other members of the woolly herd boast the names Hermione, Luna, and Ginny.
Pet of the day is from Hope Animal Rescue. That's Stanley, known as Stan the Man, a mixed breed about 2 years old. He attended a boarding school and training program, and now, through the work of a Raleigh trainer and his foster's hard work, his leash skills are impeccable. He will need a family with no other pets. Interested adopters can contact Hope Animal Rescue.
All right. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Look at that beautiful day at the fair. Have a good one.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.